the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
The papers are full again with news from the Middle East, and it's becoming increasingly apparent that we live in a world where peace is more fragile than we thought. Against this backdrop, the US has been stepping up its efforts to improve its military capabilities, and it has turned to Silicon Valley for help. Christopher Kirchhoff is an expert in emerging technology. He's worked with Eric Schmidt of Google in the Obama administration and founded the Pentagon Silicon Valley office known as Unit X to draw on expertise there. He's written a book about that work. Christopher, Unit X was set up when the Pentagon noticed that there was greater innovation in Silicon Valley than in government defense labs. That must have been surprising because we always associate the US military with innovation and high tech and James Bond style state-of-the-art equipment. But really, that wasn't the reality.
Well, Richard, if only it worked like it did in the movies, it would be so much easier. But, you know, in fact, there's been a historical shift. So it used to be the case, especially during the Cold War, that government research and development labs were generations ahead of everybody else. So the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, of course, is most famous for inventing the internet, for inventing stealth technology. But at the end of the Cold War, not only in the United States, but also in Europe, governments saw what they call a peace dividend. You know, no longer was it necessary that the Cold War was over for us to spend so much money on national security. And so as a result, research and development funded by the federal government for defense purposes essentially flatlined. And that happened right at the moment that the tech economy began to take off, that we had personal computers, eventually cloud computing, mobile. And we arrived at this astonishing reality where any one of the large name brand tech giants that had grown up, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Google, were themselves bigger in market capitalization than the entire U.S. defense industry combined.
Is that not a good thing in some ways? Because they're about developing technology, which one would hope would improve people's lives. Military and defense spending is about ending people's lives.
Well, military and defense spending is about preventing war in the best case scenario, because you build a military so strong that nobody, it's not worth anybody's while to attack you. But yes, it is a wonderful thing that we've had this incredible blossoming of technology that's made how we live and how we work and how we play better. But at the same moment, the Department of Defense stayed focused only on doing business with those in the defense world. And they had frankly fallen behind, dramatically behind, such to the degree that in 2015, the year the F-35, the most advanced fighter jet in the world, actually became operational, it was rolling down the runway with a computer processor many, many times slower than what we were all carrying around in our pockets in the iPhone 7 that same year.
So the Department of Defense sets up in Silicon Valley, builds relationships with tech companies. What kinds of technology then has that led to that have, you know, a military application or were developed together?
Well, a lot of work had to be done before anyone in Silicon Valley would ever consider doing business with the Department of Defense. So one of the roadblocks that had to be driven over was the fact that the Department of Defense typically contracts through this very convoluted process called the Federal Acquisition Rules. And so imagine, you know, a dictionary-sized book of regulations, and contracts are elaborate. They take between a year and a half to negotiate. So as a result, any venture capitalist funding a startup making, you know, amazing breakout technology said, if you even talk to the government about a potential deal, we're going to pull your funding because it's just not worth our while. You need to raise money again soon in your next venture round. You need to show profitability before then. You can't wait a couple years to see if a contract is going to go through. So that was the first wall that we had to knock down before any deals were even done.
So tech companies were slow to do business with the Department of Defense because it was bureaucratic, it was a bit slow, they were keeping an eye on them in terms of how much funding they had. And when things began to improve, what kind of technologies did Silicon Valley come up with or develop with the Department of Defense jointly?
Well, there was some really astonishing stuff. So we actually found a flying car company in Silicon Valley that was able to take incredible new electronic-powered VTOL technologies, a vertical takeoff technology, completely automated, something that could fly with near silence and full autonomy for hundreds of miles and safely deliver either supplies or actually up to four people. And so that was an incredible advance in technology. Helicopters are very loud. They break down often. They're easy to shoot down, far easier to shoot down than the VTOL aircraft we found.
So how close to a reality then, Christopher, is that or was that?
Well, you know, that aircraft is actually deployed today with the Air Force. It's an operational part of the Air Force's new fleet. It's currently at Edwards Air Force Base. So that's an example of how a company in Silicon Valley went from a prototype to an operational aircraft in a matter of about 6 years, which is really different than the F-35, which I mentioned earlier, which took about 20 years to become operational. Obviously, a more complex aircraft. But, you know, again, Silicon Valley does have a knack at producing technology quickly.
Was there a culture in Silicon Valley, in parts of it, in parts of California, that was about sort of peace and love and tech nerds who wanted to change the world with their technology rather than seeing a military application to something that they would develop? In other words, were there some conscientious objectors who'd say, no, I don't want to be involved in something that's got a military or defense application?
There were, and it was completely understandable. I mean, people in Silicon Valley go there because they want to work for an amazing product company that's building things that's changing the world for the better. And if you rewind the tape to when Defense Innovation Unit X got started, it was in, you know, 2015 and 2016. We had been in the middle of a relative era of peace. You know, fast forward today, we have, you know, a land war on the borders of NATO. We have the Middle East literally on fire. People today are much more aware, I think, of the fact that, you know, security is not something you can just take for granted. And so the arrival of Unit X in Silicon Valley did kick off a multi-year conversation about the morality of working on technology that could be used by the military.
So what about technology in warfare today, and where do you see it going? We're seeing, for example, the use of drones a lot. There's been huge technological advances in that, and it's going on in Ukraine. We're seeing them being used in Israel and the Middle East. Is that something that maybe undermines the traditional 20th century warfare machinery?
It very much does. And, you know, if you just pick up a newspaper and read any article about what's happening today in Israel, in Gaza, in the Red Sea, or in Ukraine, you're seeing an incredible transformation in war. And so, for example, in Ukraine, the United States provided 31 M1 A1 Abrams battle tanks. This is the most advanced battle tank in the world. It's an incredible piece of technology. Each one cost about $13 million. And because Russian kamikaze drones, which cost about $2,000, have gotten so good at killing tanks, the Ukrainians have had to pull back the M1 A1 Abrams tanks from the front lines because so many of them have been destroyed. And that tells me that, you know, right now, if you're a military and you've spent, you know, a generation investing in tanks, you now have a major problem because the platforms that you're good at fueling are no longer going to be effective. And we're seeing that not just with tanks, but with many other of our mainstay military platforms like aircraft carriers, which are now incredibly vulnerable to new kinds of missiles called hypersonic missiles.
I know at the time when they're built, they might seem like the latest tech, the tanks or the aircraft carriers, but does it not all amount to a massive waste of billions of dollars?
Well, you know, the goal of any Ministry of Defense is to spend just enough of their citizens' money to defend their nation and not a penny more. The danger that we're in now, though, is even though the world is so, you know, changing in such visible and astonishing ways, A lot of militaries, including the U.S. and frankly, including most NATO militaries, are continuing to invest in the same things. So more tanks, you know, more aircraft carriers. The United States just signed up to buy three more, more advanced fighter aircrafts. When it's abundantly clear that these weapons are not going to perform as they did in the past.
And do you think the U.S. military has a big problem then?
I do. I think that, you know, right now there are many people in the Pentagon that see this new future that's already upon us and can imagine a world in which a tank anywhere is going to be destroyed in a matter of minutes in a conflict. And already the Pentagon is making big changes. It just plowed $1 billion into a new initiative called Replicator, which is all about fielding really smart autonomous technology. But the question is whether that change is occurring fast enough, because drones, of course, are not only being used in Ukraine. They're being used by Hamas, by Hezbollah, by the Houthi rebels. They're endangering global shipping in the Red Sea. I mean, Houthi rebels just last month lit a supertanker on fire. They attacked an oil supertanker carrying five times the amount of oil as the Exxon Valdez because the navies of the United States and its coalition partners are not able to defend against new autonomous weaponry being deployed in the Red Sea. So we really are at, I think, a very dangerous moment where we once enjoyed incredible overmatch, what military strategists call overmatch, the ability to quite handily bring better technology and systems to the battlefield. And we no longer have that. The systems that were once the most effective, like aircraft carriers, like tactical air power, like armored tracked vehicles and tanks, are now, unfortunately, the most vulnerable to whole new generations of weapons that our adversaries, including China and Russia, are fielding.
Well, it really seems that warfare is becoming tech warfare. Christopher Kirchhoff, who is co-author with Raj M. Shah of the book How the Pentagon and Silicon Valley Are Transforming the Future of War. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.